Hello, my name is Poe Johnson, and I am an aesthetic studies student at University of Texas at Dallas, and today I'm here with...
Edlika Thompson. I'm also a PhD student in aesthetic studies at the University of Texas at Dallas.
So today we're going to talk about Sarki Bartman, otherwise known as a Hottentot Venus, and we're going to talk about her sort of reemergence in the popular culture with recent images. First, though, can you tell us a little bit more about Sarki Bartman?
Yes. Sarki Bartman was born in South Africa as a Khoisan woman who is, of course, her ethnicity relates her to the San people of South Africa and the Khoisan people. She's probably most known for the woman who made a sensation in London as a curiosity that was essentially... paraded through the streets of London and also shown in the area of Piccadilly, where obviously at the time, and we're talking about 1810, early 19th century, the European audiences, London audiences, and then French audiences were quite fascinated with physical curiosities. And so... she was maid servant at the time to a Hendrik Cesars and his wife Anna, who brought her to London with Dunlop, who was a medical surgeon, received his training in London. And there's obviously some speculation in terms of her. Being forced to be presented, obviously as the sort of primitive woman dressed in a skin tight stocking and smoking a pipe and with all the accoutrements of the South African quote unquote indigenous attire for the European audience and then of course later probably more importantly. She was accompanied by Cesars and Dunlop, arrived in France and then became acquainted with the Cuvier, the lead surgeon there, who was also, and at this time, certainly a fascination, medical fascination with her and her differences in her physique, her enlarged buttocks, her elongated labia, which were attributed to the so-called Hottentot women of the region. And so drawings were made of her body, and they at the time attempted to, Cuvier and his and the other scientists and physicians of the time attempted to examine her, and you know they were never able to do so. Unfortunately, until after her death in 1815, when and she was subsequently sent, and it's thought by Cesars and Dunlop that had deposited her her body, her corpse, to be used at the disposal of Cuvier and the scientists, who then later did dissect her. They, you know, cut off her labia all the way around her anus, and put these parts of her in formaldehyde in bottles and jars, and made a body cast of her entire body, and which was later put on display along with her brains, and that were preserved. Her brains, her body cast, her genitalia were put on display in the Museum des Hommes in France until 1972, which is a horrendous atrocity. And then she was later, through the efforts of Mandela, returned her genitalia and her brain and her parts were returned subsequently for burial. So I find it interesting and fascinating that she has reemerged in a recent internet article comparing her the Hottentot Venus with now of Kim Kardashian, and this sort of fascination with the female buttocks and female body. And at first, I was, you know, quite upset that the author would choose to sort of make these comparisons and highlights. And at the same time, now I'm probably more grateful for him resurrecting Sarah Barton to remind us of you know, these kinds of issues that we're still dealing with in terms of the dissection and of the female body, and specifically the black female body, and how that has sort of is still resurfacing in appropriation of just body parts and how we view women.
So what do you think in terms of, and this is referring to the Kim Kardashian cover of paper in which her body is displayed in a certain way, which is what the article I think you're referring to makes mention of. How do you see these as being connected?
Right now, you know, Kim Kardashian is made the choice to present herself, to represent herself and her body in the manner in which she does so in the media, through media, through the medium of you know, the internet, magazine, whatever. Sarki Bartman didn't have a choice. She did not have that. That was done, you know, for her. And so, you know, in terms of the author, he doesn't really talk about Kardashian as such. All he does is present the images and then juxtapose those images with Kardashian's images. You know, and so my response is still a little mixed. I'm not quite sure why this, and this particular author is a South African writer, of course. So, you know, they're two very different worlds. We're talking about centuries, you know, apart, in a sense.
So what was it that initially made you upset about this comparison between Sarki Bartman and Kim Kardashian?
Well, the fact that, you know, Sarki didn't, she did not have that, that choice of what, how her body was going to be used or what was going to be done with her body after it, certainly after her death. And also the images that were produced of Sarki were caricatures. It's almost as if we're looking at a revised caricature of the female body as represented by Kardashian. But there are also, you know, racial overtones, very strong ones, you know, within that. Kim Kardashian is not black. But in some sense, she has much more power and control in how her body is represented. And perhaps, you know, even now the audience is, you know, in some ways dissecting her to a degree.
So do you think that the differences, and you mentioned the fact that Kim Kardashian is not black, she is white, do you think that is what actually gives her the power? Do you think that it's the time period? Do you think that it's the sort of economic environments that both Sarki Bartman and Kim Kardashian lived in, which are very obviously very different? What is it that do you think gives Kim Kardashian this power that was not allowed to her, Sarki Bartman, rather?
Well, Sarki Bartman was an indentured servant. She didn't have the option of choice of what to do. Her life was basically controlled by others. I think, and certainly that's the largest difference that I see, but I think Kim Kardashian is very clever in understanding, and sometimes, you know, we live in a world where negative publicity is positive. She keeps herself in the media, which in, for herself is positive. Her name keeps coming up. These images that, you know, incite conversation. We are here sitting talking about this. So it's a boon for her, certainly. But I think the one missing part of this is certainly Kardashian has a certain amount of power in the fact that she is not black. She can do these kinds of things and present herself in this way, and so
I'm going to try to get you in a little trouble here now. To say that black women can't present themselves in that way?
Well, I think black women do, but I think the reception is quite different.
Different how?
Well, because of the ideas, the mythologies surrounding the black body, surrounding the black female body, and surrounding the black male body. And, you know, that's something that, you know, black people can't obviously escape from. Oh, okay. You know, I mean, we live in a world where, and I think we were talking about this just a few minutes ago, certain attributes of African Americana are appropriated by other cultures, and namely, you know, Caucasian culture, whether it be, you know, curly hair, permed hair, tan skin, injections to fill out one's lips or to fill out one's buttocks. You know, these are very selective. So
to kind of push a little forward to what I was just saying, does that to say that you don't think that black women have the same capacity to take ownership of their body, removed from a kind of cultural patriarchy which is trying to objectify it and take ownership of it?
I think we do. I think black women do. But it's difficult to divorce oneself from past conceptions, misconceptions. It's very difficult. And those, they have quite a bit of staying power. So I'm not sure if that answers the question, but...
So would you say, if you're saying that they have staying power and it's difficult to divorce yourself from these sort of historicized notions of black female sexuality or sort of the black female body, is it still then to say that it's impossible, or do you know, would you suggest or state instances where you see that it's occurring, when you see black women take ownership of their own body in a way that Kim Kardashian can and Sarki Bartman couldn't?
I'm not sure if say maybe someone like a Nicki Minaj would be seen in the same. I think the reception would be different. I think no matter how much we could try to change that narrative, I'm not sure that it can. At this day in time, I'm not quite sure.
Well, I would sort of ask by reception, whose reception? Because I think that one of the things that we make the mistake of doing, and I mean that as by we, I mean sort of scholars and academics, is suggesting that there's a singular receptive group, right? So there are different ones that will receive different messages differently or receive the same message differently. So do you think that there are no black women who would receive the reception that Kim Kardashian did, regarding the fact that Kim Kardashian's message was received rather negatively by quite a few people.
I think both on both sides of the fence, both black and white, perhaps have received her. Or do you think that? I mean, that how has this, her image, and even juxtaposing with the older, could be a tin type image of the South African woman. It was another Hottentot, quote unquote, woman that is juxtaposed with Kim Kardashian, which takes us back to Africa in that way. It could have been any way. She could have been juxtaposed with Nicki Minaj. She could have talked about any other person. But this particular author, chose to resurrect Sarki Bartman in this instance. But in terms of the reception by non-white audiences or black audiences of Kim Kardashian, has it been equal?
I think that it's complicated because I don't think that even within black or white receptive groups there's a singular monolith that you can find. I think what you get is that certain people are going to be received differently. So Kim Kardashian and how she's received by sort of the white dominant culture is generally speaking received rather negatively. In fact, I would suggest that she's probably received in many respects the same way a black woman is received. And I think that's a complicated issue. And I think Kim Kardashian's particular history, both as a cultural object unto herself, connects to that. But I think if you were to take Nicki Minaj, who is from Trinidad, or if you took Beyonce Knowles, for instance, who could probably do something similar and be received wonderfully by the black community, at least a younger feminist bent of the black community, perhaps older feminists would have a problem with her because older feminists tend to have a problem with Beyonce, black feminists, that is. So I think that the reception would be different in regards to how black people treat Kim Kardashian and Beyonce or Nicki Minaj simply because they're not singular events and they are themselves sort of larger cultural constructions who have history. But to answer your question a bit more sort of pointedly, I think that one of the things I think I see when I examine media, something that I do for my own particular research, mm-hmm. is that the way the black female body is understood is through some sort of counterbalance of repulsion and rejection and fetishization, yes. in which the body itself is examined as specimen, as sort of almost wonder, right? But that wonder is always sort of intertwined with repulsion. And what we see from Kim Kardashian, which is interesting, is that typically, and this is going back to like Josephine Baker and so forth, is that black women tinged with whiteness are sort of exciting in a way that is safe, while black women who are not tinged with that are sort of completely rejected. They're sort of thrown away, except as objects of possession, right? So the culture, the sort of white male gaze can take ownership of that particular body, but only in particular circumstances and always and only allowable in particular spaces. Kim Kardashian, interestingly enough, her cultural production thwarts that. She's married to a black man. She's been involved in relationships with black men. So this becomes complicated because she sort of exists outside of this sort of white male gaze because her sexuality is this sort of not taken ownership by them because it seemed to quote-unquote belong, and I mean that in all of the pejorative terms, to a black male. And as such, she's denigrated in a similar way that many black women have been denigrated for their bodies and for their body types, even as sort of people sexually desire her.
Right, just by her association.
Just by her association, just by being who she is. And I think that is the thing that is perhaps most interesting and fascinating and also concerning about how black women are represented, is that it's all about sort of just by being who she is, or just by a black woman being who she is. That itself requires a certain amount of damnation.
Okay, so one thing that occurred to me is thinking about the black appropriation of black culture versus white appropriation of black culture. And what I'm thinking about is an artist such as Renee Stout, who is reworking the fetish or power figures that we've seen in the Congo region and casting her body in the shape of form of these power figures with the central portion for the medicinal properties and so forth, but more as sort of a positive and casting herself as a female. Most of these figures mm-hmm, were male. Mm-hmm. And so recasting that image, literally, but reappropriating it, having us to rethink about that as an African, a woman of African descent that's reappropriating these kinds of things. And then, you know, taking that reading in a positive sense, but thinking about, too, do you think that Kim Kardashian, as a white woman, is appropriating sort of black kinds of images? And in the larger context, what do you think about black appropriation of elements of black, black-on-black kind of appropriations versus white appropriations of black kinds of elements?
Well, to answer your initial question, yes, Kim Kardashian is obviously very much engaged in a kind of appropriation of black culture and the black body as an object. So there's no way to kind of deny that. And I think one of the things that the magazine that she was recently on the cover of does is very intentionally sort of apply these values and apply these image codes that are usually reserved, rightly or wrongly, for black women, and she's using them for her own personal gain. But to answer your other question about sort of this notion that black appropriation of black objects or black images, I think that maybe I would call them reappropriation. I would sort of say that there's a kind of resistance to take the thing that has been used to denigrate you and try to reclaim it for your own. And I think marginalized peoples across the world have done this, and I think perhaps no group more powerfully or poignantly than African Americans or black people have done this, because so much of our image for the last 600 years has been denigrated. And so in order to simply survive as people, we've had to take these things and reclaim them for our own. However, it looks like, unfortunately, we're out of time for today. I want to thank Alika one more time for joining us on Virtual Africa.
Thank you, Poe, very much.
And I want to thank all of you for listening. Have a great day.